God's guaranteed plan for you is to have all-round success. Therefore, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi.
Exactly how, but something is working out this morning. There's a miracle flowing around here this morning. Let your living water flow around my soul. Let your living water flow around my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Flow over my soul.
Your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has struggled my mind. All my cares and burden unto you. Let your living water,
let your living water flow over my soul.
Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation, that has struggled. All my cares and burden, call on Jesus, Jesus. Call on Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, let's call on Jesus, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, Isaiah prophesied concerning you. Lord, you said it that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and He has anointed you to preach good news to the poor, to open blind eyes, set the captives free, announce the opening of doors to them who are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of vengeance of our God, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion, to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, right here, this morning, we declare ashes will give way to beauty. Mourning will give way to dancing. We receive the oil of joy. We receive the garment of praise. Lord, the spirit of heaviness will lift this morning. Thank you for the spirit of praise. Thank you for the spirit of joy. Thank you for the spirit of celebration. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Will you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30? First Samuel chapter 30, and we read from verse 1. First Samuel chapter 30 from verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I'll title this one this morning, Encourage Yourself. Encourage Yourself. What do you do when you are feeling low and depressed? What do you do when things happen just exactly the opposite of what you are gunning for? What do you do when sometimes it seems like things are working all right in one area of your life, but somehow the devil just shows up on the other side and gives you a loss? What do you do when you lose your job? In seasons and times like this, what do you do? What do you do probably even when your home breaks up? You suffer the divorce and you tried all you could and it just did not work out. What do you do when you are abandoned, jilted, rejected? What do you do when you lose a loved one? What do you do? What do you do when somebody dies? And usually they die without announcement. What do you do? What do you do? David found himself in a strait, in a difficult situation. They had gone to fight. But interestingly, while he was calling the victory over the enemy, on the other hand, the devil sent these people the Amalekites who attacked Ziklag and raised the whole place down. You were just coming from one victory, laughing and you know, joking and celebrating, happy that something had just worked out for you, and you got back to the house, and it was the smoke of your house, the smoke coming out from the ruins of your house that was up in the air. And you get into the place, and what happens? You get into the place, and what happens? Your wife gone, children gone, all the things you ever labored to do in one single day, burnt. And some of them carried away. What happens? What happens when your car just gets burnt right there on the road, right before your eyes? Just gets burnt like that, and you know all the faith that you exercise and the celebration that was there when God answered. What happens when things go wrong? Now, I'm sure someone, one faith person around would be saying, no, why should you be saying such things? How can such things happen to Christians? The question I'd like to ask is, how can such things not happen to Christians? Because we teach so much faith to the extent that we are oblivious to the point that God will allow sometimes some of these things to happen. We teach faith to the point where we tend to forget that we are still in the world and that there is still someone called the devil out there. We forget that even Christ himself acknowledged the fact that we will have problems. Because he said in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I remember, is it 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 that says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we forget that in Mark chapter 10, you read from verse 29, Jesus said, there is no one who has left father and mother and brothers and sisters and lands and houses and everything for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he will in this world receive a hundredfold. Fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and lands and houses with persecution. That's what he said. So sometimes bad things happen to good people and we are confused and surprised. If there was a man that something negative was not supposed to happen to, it was David. He had been anointed. It was not that he committed any sin. Sometimes we are puzzled and we just think it's because we wronged God somewhere. But some other times we know that we have not wronged God and we are surprised that these negative things are still happening. David, verse 6 says, was greatly distressed, was greatly discouraged. What will make David a warrior to cry? If someone will not be afraid of Goliath, he didn't cringe before Goliath. He didn't cringe before a lion, didn't cringe before a bear. When the lion stole his sheep, he went after the lion, killed it, and took the sheep from his mouth. Why should such a man now cry because he ran into a problem? A man who never lost a single war in his lifetime, a conqueror, David does not look to me like the man who will cry. David was a highly motivated man. Highly motivated. I would describe him as somebody who was turbocharged. Always feeling high, always excited. He was a winner all the way. But he ran into this particular situation and he broke down in tears. And sometimes you wonder, is it okay for a Christian to cry? By all means. Because in the first place, when you do that, you are being real. And a lot of times we're not real. We don't own up to our situations before ourselves. How do we own up to those situations before God? And God can't get across to us. We've got to face it. Sometimes we run through negative situations and circumstances. It's true that Romans chapter 4 verse 17 says God calls those things which be not as though they were. That's what it says. But there's one thing it doesn't say. It does not say that God calls those things which be as though they were not. He calls those things which be not as though they were. In other words, you are not feeling good, but you are prophesying that you are okay. You don't have money in your pocket, but you are prophesying that you are rich and you are prosperous. That's what it means. God calls those things which be not as though they were. But that verse doesn't say that God calls those things which be as though they were not. God does not pretend. If you are discouraged, you are discouraged. If you are feeling low, you are feeling low. It's part of the reason why our fellowship with the Holy Spirit is limited, because we are not real with Him. We're not real. We don't ask for His help when we should. Some people have a dry prayer life because the Holy Spirit doesn't help them. And the reason why is because they don't ask Him for help. I tell people, sometimes I don't know what to say. I don't feel like praying. I say, fantastic. When you don't feel like praying, that's the best time to pray. So why don't you just tell Him, Holy Spirit, I don't feel like praying at all. So I feel so low this morning, I don't feel like praying. You know what? You already started praying. Because that's what prayer is all about. It's talking to Him and having Him talk to you. Holy Spirit, I just don't feel like praying this morning. I'm on a low help. I don't just understand what's happening all around me. I can't pray this morning except you help me. I know the Bible says likewise the Spirit helps our infirmity. So why don't you just help me? I tell you, you never had a more wonderful prayer time. Because that's when He comes in, encourages you, strengthens you, and helps you. So we've got to hold up to it. Sometimes we're going to feel low. And you see, it's just natural for us to respond to these negative situations in negative ways ourselves. I found out when you experience a loss or something that makes you to grieve, I found out the first way by which you respond is denial. You don't want to believe that the thing has really happened. You're asking yourself, it's not possible. That thing is not, it can't be me. Me? It's not possible. What you are simply saying, you don't want to accept that it is possible. It's not possible. You don't want to accept the fact that it has happened. That's it. You don't want to accept the fact that it has happened. It's not possible. Or you ask some question, why should something like that happen to me? Why should it happen to me of all people? How can someone tell, what have I done? All of that is denial. You are trying to escape the reality of the truth. The thing has happened. You lost a loved one. How could she die? It's not possible for her to die. She has died. And you see, you can't move on until you accept the reality of the problem. You can't get the reality of the solution until you accept the reality of the problem. Sometimes we grieve over a lost job so much, we don't even have enough time to think about the new one we are supposed to get. It's not after all that I contributed into that complaint. After with my relationship with, how could it have happened? How could it have happened? It has happened. Just accept it happened and move on with your life. That's the point. That's the point. You were there when this thing started right from the scratch. We built this thing from the scratch when there was nothing on the ground. Now the whole place is flourishing, and then all I get is a sack letter. And what I found out is from that stage of denial, the next thing is you run into anger. You run into anger and blame everybody who has been part of the situation. You blame everybody. If you lost a loved one, you blame the doctors. You blame the person who did not announce on time. You blame the doctor who did not arrive on time. You blame the nurses. You blame this. You blame everybody. You blame your boss. You blame your wife. You blame your husband. You just blame everybody what to do. Especially, of course, usually, the devil will use people to hurt you. There will always be people involved. Then you blame everybody, you are angry and you blame everybody. But the truth is, that still has not solved the problem. And after anger, after venting all of your emotions in anger, the next thing is depression. There's nobody to blame again. Next thing is to withdraw and be depressed and be discouraged and to look gloomy and to just meditate and sorrow over what has happened, sorrow and all of that. But finally, the important point is, you've got to come to the place where you accept that it has happened. You accept that it is gone. You accept that the situation cannot remain the same again and make up your mind to move on with your life. Get on with your life. Come to the point of acceptance. Come to the point where you stop telling yourself, I must be dreaming. You are not dreaming, it happened. I must be dreaming. I'm not dreaming. Come to the place of acceptance. The first thing these people did was to grieve. The Bible said they were so discouraged, they wept. They wept aloud. Can you imagine men weeping? They were soldiers, so it was no ordinary cry. If it's women weeping, it will be in trouble or something like that. But when men are weeping, you are hearing bass. That was crying. All of them were crying at the same time. They wept sore, the Bible says, until they had no more power to weep. When you come to the power, you can't even get the thing outside anymore. And that was good. Because as soon as they finished that was they as soon as they got over that, David's mind cleared up. Sometimes it doesn't help you to bottle up those feelings. It helps you to find someone and to be real before the person, to open up before the person. You see, the problem sometimes is if you keep these things too long in your heart becomes hardened. Your heart hardens, God can't even get across to you. People, even the person who comes trying to encourage you, it is well. You are telling yourself inside, it's okay. If it happens to you, you will understand what I'm saying. You can be quoting scriptures to yourself. I know that one already. He said, all things work together for good to them. We have quoted that one many times. Quote another one. You may not say that to the person, but you are saying that to yourself inside because the bitterness is still there. The pain is still there. The hurt is still there. Sometimes it may just help you to open up to someone. This is how I feel. If you can't do it to anybody, then stay inside your room and tell the Holy Spirit exactly how you feel. If you are angry, tell him you are angry. Call the names of people you are angry with and all of that. And tell God you can't forgive them except if it just helps you. Accept the situation. They wept sore. But I like it. They didn't stay with that. Verse 6 says, and David was greatly destroyed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now nothing moved as long as they were grieving. Nothing will move as long as you are mourning. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, God spoke to Samuel. He said, fill thine horn with oil. He said, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go down to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have appointed me a king among his sons. And I love that. How long will you mourn? How long will you mourn for Saul? If you have been mourning, this morning the mourning has come to an end. How long will you mourn for a job that has gone? How long will you mourn for a contract that has gone? How long will you mourn over a failed relationship, for God's sake? How long will you mourn? How long will you mourn over a negative situation? He said, fill your horn with oil, let's start something new. So nothing moved for as long as these people were grieving and sorrowing. But something started moving when David decided to have a change of mind. People were talking of stoning him. And that had the potential of getting him further depressed. Because these were people who have nothing when they came to him. People who were non-entities when they came to him. Because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 22 that there were people who were in debt, people who were distressed, people who had rebelled, people who were discontented, rebels. That was what they were when they came to him. And their lives, he had bettered their lots. They were even now married and settled down. Even his own wife too had been carried away and he had lost all his... These people did not remember anything. All of them now gathered together and they were talking that they were going to stone him to death, that he was the one running them to... That could have further gotten him depressed. But I thank God that at that moment, David made a turn around. He had developed such a mature relationship with God that this thing was not going to get him down. And David did what? Encouraged himself in the Lord. You may run through some situations and the pastor may not be there. There may be no Nepal light for you to even listen to a tape to encourage you. A tape on faith. But you can encourage yourself. That's what I want to encourage. That's what I want to advise this morning. How did David go about it? I believe there are a few things that I may suggest here that David did. I believe that first of all, David must have remembered the day he was anointed to be the king over Israel. Here was he running all through the bush from Saul. The prophecy had not yet been fulfilled. Instead of moving forward, he had now lost everything that he had acquired his lifetime. I believe that David must have played back that day in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. When Samuel took the horn of oil and poured it over his head and prophesied on him that he was going to be the next king of Israel. And David must have remembered that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. David must have remembered that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. David must have remembered that when God speaks, he brings good, he makes good his promises. He remembered the prophecies that had gone already on his life. He remembered the dreams and the visions that God had given him. He remembered that he was made for the palace. And he encouraged himself. I believe he must have repeated those prophecies to himself. Probably closed his eyes and remembered that day. And felt and just relieved that situation where Samuel put the oil on his head. And the feeling welled up back in his mind of exactly what happened on that day. And he just remembered how he felt, how encouraged, how happy, how excited he was. And as he relived it in his mind, he could feel the same excitement coming into his mind again. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says that we should look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus always kept before him the picture of sitting on the right hand of the Father. He kept a picture of joy, not a picture of gloominess. However difficult the circumstances or situations ever became, Jesus never lost sight of the vision, of the place where he was going, of the things that God has spoken to him, of the prophecies that have been written in the Bible about him. He never forgot them. Who for the joy that was set before him? So many attempts were made on the life of Jesus. So many attempts. There was a day he went into Samaria, and news quickly spread through the grapevine that this troublesome Jew that was working miracles had come. All the hotels that day refused Jesus and his disciples entry. You just get to the hotel, say, we are fully booked. You just get to the hotel, what's your name, sir? Say, I'm Jesus, Reverend Jesus. Sorry, we are fully booked. We are fully booked. All the hotels and the inns turned him down that night because he had gotten there. There were attempts on his life. Jesus sometimes had to run out of some towns and some villages. The very people he came to save were busy driving him around, running all over the place, persecuting him, harassing him. The miracles he worked to convince them that God sent him were the same miracles that made them angry and decide to kill him. And then there he was, they nailed him to the cross and all of that. But the Bible says he endured the cross, he despised the shame and the harassment, he refused to be discouraged. He got to a point, they were trying to make an attempt on his life. He said out loud to himself and to the hearing of everybody around, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to pick it up again. I won't die before my time. I shall not die but live to declare the works of God, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I remember there was a day Apostle Paul had to encourage Timothy that he should remember the prophecies that had gone before on him, that he by them might war a good warfare. Remember the prophecy we prophesied on your head. Remember that day when the Spirit of God stirred up somebody in the church and the prophecy came and it was yours. Remember the day the pastor prayed over you. Remember during the naming ceremony in your house. Remember during the housewarming. Remember during the situation. Remember during your birthday. Remember during the church service. Just remember that there was a day a prophecy came and it was yours. And God made a great promise over your life. That's the first thing I want to encourage. If you will have the ability to encourage yourself in difficult situations, learn to replay good memories. The temptation from the devil when things go wrong is for us to now begin to pick out all the bad things that have happened to us and to replay them to reinforce the negative feeling that we already have. No. Remember the things God told you. Remember the dream you had one night where something wonderful happened to you. Remember the revelation you caught one day while you were reading the Bible and you were so excited that you knew God had spoken to you. Remember the prophecies that have gone ahead on you so that with them you may fight off this depressive feeling and this feeling of discouragement and this feeling of grief and sorrow. I believe that David remembered. I believe that David remembered. The second thing I believe that David did, the moment he decided to look for the solution and not concentrate on the problem, was that he found something within the situation to thank God for. Because the Bible says there that although they carried his wives and carried the wives of everybody away, they did not kill any one of them. That's in verse 2. And at taking the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away. In other words, they could have healed them. Sometimes we're so blinded by the negativity of the situation, we don't realize there is still an opportunity to praise God and thank Him. So blinded by the problem, we can't see the solution around. What if they had healed them? There wouldn't even have been an opportunity at all to recover them. There will always be something to thank God for in your situation. You may be here this morning sorrowing and grieving, but you have something to thank God for. There is something to still thank God for. And God will help us to find it this morning in Jesus' name. There is still something to thank God for within the situation. In Job chapter 35 and verse 10, Job says, but none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth me songs in the night? God gives songs. I tell you, some of the most beautiful hymns and songs that we sing have been born out of seasons of distress and discouragement. I read about the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And the fact that the man who wrote it had just lost all of his four daughters in his size. This woman, thank God, God saved her life, but all the four daughters died. And this man, through this season of grief, penned those words just flowed through his heart. And he penned those words, It is well. It is well with my soul. God gives songs in the night, but our hearts must be prepared and broken and softened enough to receive them. Because in the first place, the reason for some of these situations is that God wants to soften our conscience. God wants to soften our hearts. God gives songs in the night. He says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As this popular chapter in the Psalms, Psalm 126, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. God gives songs in the night. It's not good enough for you to sing like the psalmist wrote in Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. That was the mistake. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us men, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And then they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Where else should you sing the Lord's song? That was the mistake they made. The things were so bad for us. They were requiring us to sing. Said, we carried our harp and we hung them upon the willows. There's no point singing. I thank God for Paul and Silas. Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God with manacles around their feet and chains around their legs. Prayed and sang praises unto God, and there was an earthquake. Hallelujah. Amen. David knew the secret of songs. And I'm sure that David, after seeing that God had even preserved the lives of his wife, must have had cause to praise God and thank Him. And of course, while he was busy praising God and thanking Him, he found encouragement in the songs that he sang. Those wonderful songs of encouragement that he sang with ease when things were okay. I tell you, there are songs that don't make meaning to you now that you're enjoying the breakthrough. It's when you are going through a rough time that you enjoy the real, rich, deep meaning of some of those songs.
I'm sure you know that sometimes when we go through rough and difficult times, some of these songs just flow out of their own accord, out of our hearts. That's when we really know the meaning of these songs. More importantly, I realized that David, instead of concentrating on what the people were talking about, that they were going to stone him, he changed his mind and decided to focus more on what God had to say. They were talking of stoning him. David just remembered. He just called Abiathar the priest and said, "Get me the ephod. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. I'm not interested in what they have to say. I think I'm interested now in what God has to say." In Psalm 119 verse 23, he says, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy word." You know, sometimes when things go rough for you, you are surprised that some of the closest persons to you are the ones who are going to criticize you. When things go bad for you, you know, a lot of the times when things go bad for you, especially as a Christian, many people around don't understand that you don't necessarily have to have sinned for something negative to have happened to you. Job's friend made that mistake. Say, "Job, acknowledge your sins before God. God is just. There's no way these negative things could have happened to you if it was not that you sinned against God. Accept that you're a sinner." Gone through some of these experiences before, when simply because you just suffered some slight setback, people go to town and say all kinds of things. Go to town and say all kinds of things. Experienced that just a few years ago. Was a period when one was supposed to feel low, sort of a setback, and then I had someone who was so close had made such a dangerous statement about me. Dangerous and slanderous statement about me. And I remember it took me quite a while. Of course, all the while I was just telling God, "I cannot afford to have bitterness in my heart. I forgive everyone. I forgive everyone. Help me to forgive." But then there was a day I now went and confronted the person. Said, "I learned you said things about me." The person said, "I'm sorry. It was because of what somebody also told me." I said, "Wonderful. And we were so close, you could have heard directly from me." Sometimes it could be painful. But the good thing for David was he did not sit down mourning over what people were saying. He said to the priest, "Please get me the ephod. Let's ask God what we're supposed to do." And he says, "Father, should I pursue them?" And to his surprise, the powerful response came from God. "Pursue. Thou shalt pursue them and overtake them and without fail recover all." Whatever Satan stole from you, you will recover in Jesus' name. Encourage yourself. Come to the point where you realize it's not what people have to say that matters, it's what you decide. It's what God has to say and what you decide to do. Opinions are cheap, convictions are what matter. And everybody has a right to have an opinion. But you've got your conviction based on what God told you from His word. I love something that someone said. I remember I read in a book. He said, "Nobody has the right to humiliate me. I alone can humiliate myself." I've come to realize that other people can stop you temporarily. You are the only one that can stop yourself permanently. Other people can only stop you temporarily. The boss who fired you stopped you only temporarily. The one who failed you, the lecturer who failed you, stopped you only temporarily. You are the only one who can stop yourself permanently. And I made up my mind, I'm not going to stop myself. I'm going to move on to destiny, amen. It doesn't matter how difficult it is, I'm going to move on to destiny. Thank God for today, but there's always a better tomorrow. This song always gives me encouragement. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And I love this song also that says we are destined to win. We are destined to win. It's a matter of destiny. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Turn with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. I think I'll just close on that. Psalm 118, I believe that God sent me to somebody here this morning. Psalm 118. Let's read from verse 5. It says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Because sometimes your connections will fail you. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. He says, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. He says, thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helps me. The Lord is my strength and what? Song, and he's become my salvation. That's the process. That's the process. He says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth brilliantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth brilliantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me, sir, but he hath not given me over unto death. Hallelujah. Death is an end, but God has not delivered me over unto death. So I just want you to appreciate the psalmist's situation. He was in distress, but he called on the Lord. You may have forgotten in the midst of your negative situation to even pray. Well, someone says, but I don't even feel like praying. That's absolutely true. But remember, I said when you don't feel like praying, that's exactly when you need to pray. That's when you need to ask for his help. Because if Satan can stop you from praying, then he's going to knock you out altogether. He says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. Remember, he's the one who promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And it is very true, sometimes you don't feel the presence of God at all. It seems like God is far. You are finding it difficult to hear his voice like you were hearing before. The pages of the Bible hold no meaning for you anymore. Even the places that you marked where you got revelations before. He says, but I called upon the Lord in distress and he answered me. God is on my side, I will not fear. And then he says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Evidently, it must have been disappointed by some people. But the important thing is in verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song. When God is your strength and God is your song, he will become your salvation. That's what happened to Paul and Silas in the prison. When God became their strength, they prayed. And he became their song. He became their salvation because there was an earthquake and he led them free from the place. God will become your song this morning. I remember someone gave a testimony of how his wife was in the hospital to deliver a baby. He managed to borrow money from someone to be able to pay for admission into the hospital. But to pay for the delivery, he couldn't get the money. It was a man of God. He said he searched, he tried, he went to the people he knew. He couldn't get the amount of money. And of course, his wife was there in the hospital. She had already delivered. He had to get back there. And of course, show up back there with money. He said he was just singing. He said he didn't even know what to do again. And he just started singing. Amen, Jesus never fails. Amen, Jesus never fails. Amen, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails forever. When he got tired of asking people and walking around, he just headed straight for the hospital. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. Who never fails. Who never fails forevermore. He entered the hospital. Of course, his wife had delivered. They said report. So he went to the accounts, got the bill. Amen. Jesus never fails. As he was walking out, the medical director saw him and said, "Ah, Reverend, please come to my office. I'd like to see you for a minute." I said, "Actually, we have decided. I just decided now that we should write off your bill for you." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the good thing is, the song helps your feeling, while at the same time, it positions you for a miracle. A song helps your own feeling. What I found out is, what God will do, He will do. And if you spend all your time sorrowing, you will find out that you just cheated yourself, because you could have been happy. You spend all your time, and what I even found out is, when you refuse to sing and you are sad, you are prolonging the length of your mourning. Like somebody said, when you see a Christian who has a long face, it means that he has a long way to go. You see? It means that he has a long way to go. God has become my strength and my song, and he has become what? My salvation. I'll read Psalm 40 verses 1 to 3. Psalm 40 verses 1 to 3. He says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall do what? Trust in the Lord." I will encourage this. One of the major ways by which you can encourage yourself is to encourage other people. Just get out and give somebody a word of encouragement. Because what you give out will always come back to you. What you give out will always come back to you. I read the story of a young boy who was quarreling with his mother. His mother just beat him in the house. The boy ran out of the house angry. Ran out of the house and shouted, "I hate you!" A few seconds later, the voice echoed from the valley. "I hate you, hate you, hate you." The boy ran back into the house. I said, "Mommy, there's a boy out there in the valley. He hates me." Young boy didn't know he was an echo. "And there's a boy out there in the valley who hates me." The mother said, "Is that?" Because the mother knew what happened. So she wisely called him, "Come out. Now shout to the boy, 'I love you.'" Said, "I love you." The voice came back, "I love you, I love you, I love you." Hallelujah. You know what I found out? Every time you give out, what comes back to you is more than what you gave out. Every time you give out love, you give out a word of encouragement, you cheer somebody else up, it's coming back to you in greater measure. Amen. What you give out will always come back to you. And like Mike Murdock says, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you.
Amen.
Find somebody to encourage. Hallelujah. Will you encourage the person next to you? Just say a word of encouragement. "Say you to the righteous, it shall be well with you." Hallelujah. "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." Tell the person, "It is not an end, it is only a bend." Find one wisdom word to give the person. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy.
God loves you more than he ever did. The shed blood of Jesus is speaking on your behalf this morning. I want you to meditate on God's goodness and God's love. Says in Psalm 73 verse 1, truly God is good unto Israel. Says in Psalm 96, it says in Psalm 92 verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto your name, O Most High. Psalm 98 verse 1 says, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy hand had gotten them the victory. God is faithful. Steadfast love.
Steadfast love.
This morning you lost a loved one just some 3 years ago, and the person was even a believer. You know where the person is, but the Lord says you remember the person today and you still grieve. You're sorrowful and depressed and discouraged and you weep. Says this morning there is healing if you will open up your heart. Just accept that the person is with me, saith the Lord. Just accept that the person is not grieving or sorrowing or crying. Just accept that this thing is holding down your life, but your life can move forward today if you will accept my love, saith God. God's healing power is here to touch you this morning. You just open up your heart to Him and accept His healing. There are some people here, just a few people, who have difficult marital situations. And all by yourself, sometimes you cry. All by yourself, tears well up in your eyes, and you regret finding yourself in such a situation. And it says, stop the regrets. Stop the weeping. Stop the crying. He says, if He can heal your heart, He's going to heal your home. He says, if I can heal your heart, I will heal your home. You just open up your heart to Him this morning and just receive His healing also. Just receive His healing. Just receive His healing. We give you praise. We give you praise. As we worship.
As we worship in your presence, there is healing. The Holy Spirit's gentle touch is
there is healing.
power. From discouragement. I am free from depression. Yes, it is. Let's call that name.
Jesus.
Wonders of the Word of God have begun. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed. For additional tapes, CDs, and books, please contact us through the address on this CD. God bless you.